Good morning, everybody. Hello, hello. How are you? Yeah, how's your summer? Not wonderful, good. Who's been on holiday? Well, that's all right, isn't it? Well done. Well, welcome to our EnFest launch service. Who is excited about EnFest this week? 4 to 5, good. We'll get the rest of you on board. Do you know what? I was reflecting this week about what an incredible blessing EnFest is and the opportunity that we get to connect with so many people in our community who can come along to events and stuff like that. But I was particularly reminded of how it is not events or programs that lead people to Jesus. It is us bringing Jesus to people and saying, look at the risen Lord. Look what he's done for you. Look how he wants to restore and come into your life. And that is where the juice is. Recently, I went on holiday to Cos, as you can tell. I'm looking all right, am I? So, you know, you're doing what you do, right? I'm laying out in my sun lounger. By the way, I might get a little bit of South London at this point because I'm kind of going, feel like I'm going home. So I'm laying out on my sun lounger, and just before I'd been away to Cos, I said, Lord, please would you put someone in my way who I could really bless? Now, like most of you, I'm sure at this point, I'd completely forgotten that I'd actually said this prayer. So I'm laying down on my sun lounger, and I've got my piz booing on. You know, I'm doing all right. The old suntan is coming along quite nicely. And you get thirsty around lunchtime, don't you? So I went over to the bar, and I like to speak a bit of the lingo. So I said, can of mythos, please, mate. And mythos is an adult beverage, for those of you who don't know. And he said, certainly, sir. And anyway, it turned out that this guy wasn't Greek. He was actually Iranian. And so I said, tell me a bit about your story. And he said, I had to come as a refugee to Greece. I said, really? That's incredible. I said, why did you have to come? He said, oh, I had to leave because it wasn't safe for me back home anymore. I said, why? And he went a little bit quiet and got on really close to me. And he went, because I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Saviour. And I said, that's incredible. Tell me a bit more. And he told me about how he'd had this incredibly hard time with the authorities there and all these things had gone on for him. I said, but how did you encounter Jesus there? I said, was it in one of the underground churches? Was it here? Was it there? He went, no. He said, I picked up the Quran. I picked up the Torah, which is the first few books of the Bible that the Jews read. And he said, and I picked up the Bible. And he said, and Jesus spoke to me clearly through his word. And I became a Christian in my bedroom by myself. And my family are here, and we're just figuring it out. And I said, that is one of the most amazing stories I have ever heard. And I blessed him, and I told him about my prayer before we came away. And we're still in contact now, and it is so good. But I was reminded of this. Jesus came into Jerusalem, and it says, as he rode along, the people spread their cloaks on the road. And as he approached the descent from the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of disciples began to praise God joyfully in a loud voice for all the miracles that they had seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. But some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, teacher, rebuke your disciples. He said, I'll tell you this, he answered. If they remain silent, the very stones will cry out. Jesus spoke to this man. Jesus is going to find a way to connect to everyone. Isn't it incredible that we live in the freedom of being able to tell our community about the good news of Jesus? That is our opportunity this week. This is a chance to come alongside people and say, you are loved and God wants salvation in your life. And you know what? All we've got to do is be willing to be used. That's it. So hopefully you're excited about EnFest and the opportunities that we've got. I'm going to pray and then we're going to worship together. Jesus, thank you so much for being with us today. I thank you for everyone in this room, whether they've been here 100 years or whether this is their first time today. Lord, would you bring your blessing on them? Would you connect with them in a fresh new way? Would you bring the fresh word into their lives? Would you bring life where maybe things are a struggle at the moment? But more than all of that, Lord, would you inspire us this week to go into this, into all the events we've got, and use us inside it mightily. We're going to do it with all our heart. Amen. Thank you, Will and the team. Can I invite Chris up now? I'm going to pray for Chris before he brings us the word. There's two things that I always feel when I'm around Chris. First of all, I want to look like him. It's all right. But the second thing is, whenever he brings a word of God, I'm like, man, that is good. Every single time. And so I'm sure today isn't going to be different. Feels like a bit of a build-up now, doesn't it? But I'm going to pray for Chris, and then we're going to get into it. Jesus, we thank you so much for our brother Chris and for his family. We thank you that you've brought him to us safely. I pray, Father, that you would just bring an anointing on him now. Would you pour out your spirit into his life? Like we just sang, grace and love pour like mighty rivers. Would you give that to this man right in this moment? So as he brings your word, Father, we may be transformed by your blood and by your love. Amen.
Thank you. Right, thank you. It's great to see you all. Looking good. Just want to get straight into it. I've got a word that I want to share with you that I feel God's given me for us as a church, and especially moving into this EnFest week, just something to carry with us. And I really love what Dave shared earlier, because he talked about an encounter with someone. He asked God to meet somebody. I want to talk today about encounters. And, you know, have any of you ever had a surprise encounter? I had one quite a long time ago when I was 17. So that was quite a few years ago, at least 10 years ago. And my brother lives in East London, and I'd taken the bus up to London to visit him. It's one of my first trips kind of on my own. And I was taking the tube. It was all really exciting. And I don't know if any of you have been on the Underground. Who's been on the London Underground? Yeah, it's a funny world, isn't it? Because it's just full of zombies. Nobody looks at you or makes eye contact. And I was on one of the old tube trains where the seats are facing. Some of the carriages were like that. And I was on the way across London, and the train stopped, and suddenly this girl got on, and she was, I kind of wasn't really looking at her, but she's quite tall, wearing a big kind of fur coat, and she came down and sat right opposite me. And I suddenly, like, I think that's Kate Moss. And does anybody know who Kate Moss is? So she was famous a while ago. She's what was called a supermodel, which means she's a model with superpowers. So she could climb buildings, the outside of buildings, with her hands. But she was quite famous for a while, and I didn't want to stare, so I was kind of looking at her reflection in the window, and the whole carriage changed. It's suddenly like there's this kind of presence in. Everyone's kind of quiet. And she was on for three stops, and then she left. And everybody was like, that was Kate Moss, that was Kate Moss. And then the day carried on, and I was just having my normal day, and then there's suddenly this moment. Now, I wasn't particularly excited, because I'm not really into Kate Moss, but it was not often that somebody very famous is suddenly right there in front of you. And it took me by surprise. You know, what are our expectations for this week? You know, do you know what you think is going to happen? Maybe you know the program by heart. Maybe you've done this, some of you probably for 50 years, every year. And you know how this works. You know, we all want to make it the best possible, don't we? You want to do it excellently. And this church is amazing at doing things really well. But we don't want to miss the purpose. You know, it's a busy time. Everyone's focused on what they're doing and their project and their plan. But we want to encounter God. That's the whole reason we do this, isn't it? That we have an encounter with God, that everyone that walks through these doors encounters God. And my question is, you know, God wants to encounter us, but are we prepared to encounter him? Are we looking for him? Are we expecting him? Are we giving him the time? You know, sometimes we can be so focused on something that we miss the whole point of it. I don't know if anybody here's planned a kid's birthday party. I'm sure a lot of you have. It's the most stressful thing you ever do in your life. And we had one for Sam in March, and we had 12 or 14 little Spanish kids. Their parents just dropped them off, and I had lots of activities, and it was super cool. But it's one of these things you just really looking forward to it finishing. And it was amazing. And nobody died. One girl fell over and grazed her leg, which I had to sort of scoop her up, and that was all fine. And then you have the songs and Spanish kids don't really do parties. They kind of just throw them in a soft play and the parents all have a drink together. So the idea of games and stuff, they just loved it. And it got to end, and I'm just thinking, bring on the cake. I just want to go to bed, basically. And I just suddenly thought, I just wished this whole event away because I've been so focused on the busyness. The whole thing is celebrating my son's birthday, which of course I did. But how often we can do that? We miss the whole purpose of what we're doing because we're busy. I want to look briefly at a very famous passage in the Bible this morning. There's three keys that I want to look at. It's in Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 to 5, if you've got a Bible. I'm reading it from the New King James because I like the way it says it, just for this passage. So it says, Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock back to the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush, said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. And he said, do not draw near this place. Take off your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. So I'm sure we all know this. We learn this from Sunday school. It's a very famous passage. But I think there's three keys that I want to look at this morning. You know, Moses was busy at this point. He had a lot of responsibility. He was looking after his father-in-law's sheep. I don't know if anybody here has looked after their father-in-law's sheep, but it's a tough gig. You want to get that one right. So he's got the pressure. He's got responsibility. He's in the desert. You can imagine him looking for water and food, wanting to protect the sheep from wolves and animals. And suddenly, he notices something. You know, there's many distractions, but it says Moses noticed. And the first point I want to leave with you this morning is don't be too busy to notice. You know, I've heard somebody say once, I didn't understand this, but burning bushes would have been quite common to people then, often because of a lightning strike, or we have it in Spain, it's so hot, fires just start. So seeing a bush burning wasn't anything surprising. But Moses had to look closer. And sometimes maybe we feel like we've been here before. We see things and we're like, I know what that is, I've seen that before. And we maybe don't expect it to be anything special. Maybe we don't expect to encounter the supernatural. I had a time before we moved to Spain, we were living in Liverpool, and I was working as a builder, but I used my work to take lads off estates where they were dealing drugs and give them some work. And some of them found Jesus, and I took them to church. So on a Sunday evening, and have about eight of these kids who grew up in a really rough area of Liverpool came to church. And they were all very good footballers. Some of them played like for Liverpool Academy. And one of them came to church with a broken ankle. He'd just broken it. And he was a tough guy, really popular on the estate, had a career in drugs. And afterwards, me and my friend, we just simply said, we just want to lay hands on you and pray for you that God's going to do something. And literally in that instant, he was instantly healed. I've not seen many things like that. It was a broken bone, instantly healed. The next day, they cut off the cast and he was playing football again. And everyone was in awe. And of that group of boys, about six of them received Jesus, partly through seeing that miracle. The guy that got healed, he just hardened his heart. He's like, I'm God. I did it myself. And he's nowhere with God. But the amazing thing, I used to drive onto this estate that's crawling with undercover police. It's a really dangerous area of Liverpool. And the first question people would ask me was, Chris, have you seen a miracle this week? That's the first thing they'd ask me. And this really impacted me because I thought, how many times do I walk into a church and Matt come to me and say, Chris, have you seen any miracles this week? Because we probably don't really expect it. And I don't mean just physical healings. I mean anything above the normal. You know, God moving in people's lives, these encounters, the story Dave told. Are we expecting those, really, if we're honest? You know, we need to be sensitive to the small things. You know, it says in verse 4 that he turned aside to see this great sight. You know, we mustn't be too busy to notice. But the next thing we need to do, we need to slow down and we need to turn aside. You know, how often are we in a rush to get through things? We're in a rush to get through life. There's tasks that need to be done. And while we're going through these things, we can miss life. You know, my experience is when God wants to do something, it's generally a really inconvenient time. The number of times I've been going somewhere in a hurry, I've been rushing out to the shop to buy something, and Liz is waiting back with the boys, and then I see somebody who I know needs me, and I'm like, this is the worst time. An hour ago, I had free time. But every time I stop and slow down, God does something amazing, whether it be a chance to pray to somebody or just bless them or just listen to them or whatever it is. You know, when we look at the model of Jesus, Jesus always took time for people. You know, there's a really famous story. He's going to see Jairus, a leader's daughter who's dying. And, you know, that's something you need to hurry to. And he spent time with a lady who was sick and healed her first. And when he got there, this girl was then dead and he raised her to life. But Jesus understood the importance of noticing and slowing down and being in the moment. You know, it's really interesting that it says when God saw that he turned aside, he then spoke. You know, that's to me is a really profound verse. God is waiting for our attitude. You know, my personal conviction is God wants to speak to us all the time. He really does, because he loves us and he wants to communicate his heart like we would with our children. But we need to make that space. We need to make that time. We need to turn aside. Moses turned aside. He said, I want to see this amazing sight. And then God spoke. You know, so often I hear people say, God doesn't speak to me, or I can't hear his voice. But do we listen? It takes time sometimes. We need to pause. If I could have a photo up, please, Paul. So then if you can all see that, that's a photo I took back in January in Spain. Can anybody tell me what that is? The link. Oh, he said the Spanish links. Sam, oh yeah, you didn't count. So it is the Spanish lynx. Now that was a few years ago the rarest big cat in the world. And we're very lucky they live wild about an hour and a half from where we live in Granada. And I just love being outside. I love nature. And when I get time, I like to drive into the mountains with my camera and look for these things. And they're wild. It's not a zoo. It's a massive mountain range. And I just sit with my chair in the sunshine and I wait and I have to be very patient. And to take that photo, I was waiting about 7 hours. Now you're looking over a huge valley. I can see probably 10 miles in any direction. And I'm looking for signs. And I know when a lynx comes that the deer start to get scared. But I also know that the magpies, they start calling because they always get scared when there's a big cat. I mean, these are big cats. They're not like a little house cat. They're big. They can kill a deer. So I'm listening for the sign. I'm listening for the magpies. And when I hear the magpies calling, I look in through my lens to see if there's a lynx there. Because I'm noticing something different. It's something very subtle. And that's a real object lesson for us. You know, there might be a big mass of things going on, but are we just tuning into that little thing of like, oh, hang on a minute, there's something going on here. I mustn't miss this. You know, I love what Heidi Baker says. She says that we need to go slow and stay low. You know, we're not in a rush and we stay humble. We just walk with God. We don't need to run with God and just be patient. So let's not be too busy to notice. Second thing, let's slow down and turn aside. There's something about positioning ourselves, saying, God, I'm available. I don't quite understand this yet. With Dave, he got this idea that he wanted to connect with somebody, but he didn't know how that would end, but he was open to that opportunity, that encounter. We heard that incredible story of what then happened. And the last thing, we need to recognize a holy moment. You know, what happens after we just see in the end of the verse, you know, it says, Moses turned aside. God spoke to him by name. And he said, here I am. And he said, do not draw near this place. Take off your sandals, for the place where you stand is holy. It's holy ground. And you know, heaven is constantly waiting to invade earth. We're called, aren't we, to pray. Your kingdom come, your will be done on the earth as it is in heaven. And God wants to come and just totally change our reality. He wants to change everything in a moment. That's what he's constantly longing to do. And he's looking for people that are willing to say, yes, that's what I want. I'm open to that. And we need to recognize that moment. This week as we go into it, it might be a point in a conversation when suddenly like something's happening here. It might be the way somebody's look. We might walk into a room and see somebody and think, I need to talk to them. It might just be spending time with somebody. It might just be giving somebody a hug. It might just be playing with the kids. All those things are valuable. But we need to recognize there's something holy. There's a holy moment. You know, just to finish, for Moses, this was life-changing. Two things stand out to me. One, he was called by name. God knew his name. You know, every one of you, God knows your name. Every child that's come into this building tomorrow, God knows their name. And a name's significant. It means something. It speaks about their destiny. It speaks about their calling. And then God speaks into Moses' life at that moment, and he changes his life forever and sets him on this incredible path to lead Israel out of slavery into freedom, all through that one encounter, just because he stopped to see a burning tree. So as we go into this week, let's be looking, let's be sensitive. Just want to encourage you, don't despise the small things. As we're in Spain trying to pioneer church, I love all the big exciting things, but a lot of it's just turning up. It looks very mundane, it looks very dull, but it's just being present. And don't underestimate what a simple bit of kindness can do. Looking somebody in the eyes and listening to them and smiling. Just touching somebody appropriately, of course. Hugging them. You know, and with just a child, just spending time to notice them, play with them. You know, let's not be in a rush. And let's believe, God, that every person here is going to have a life-changing encounter where they hear their name being called and where God speaks into their destiny and sets them on a path with him. Amen.